really heartbreaking, gut-wrenching, you name it. But now we're told that the one-on-one aide did check on her the morning she was found dead, but the aide believed that she was a heavy sleeper. So when she went to go wake her up and Kanaya Ward did not wake up, she didn't think much of it. And then she went back 5 hours later and she said that's when she found her unresponsive. Again, this is a totally different story than we first received. We were told a hotel staffer found her. And this whole thing of, you know, she went to go wake her up. I have a lot of questions on that. But did you see the pill bottle there? Was there a Benadryl pill bottle there on the nightstand? Was there anything? Was the suicide note? Was that physically there? Like, what did you see when you entered the room the very first time? I also thought it was interesting because she said, the aide said, and you can read about this in the Baltimore Sun, by the way. The aide said, I thought she was a heavy sleeper. Well, when did you meet Kanaya? That's another question I have. Here is this young girl. She's on suicide watch, basically, in this hotel alone, which is depressing for anyone. But when did this aide actually meet her, and why did she assume that she was a heavy sleeper? Was it in her file? Did she sleep long like this before? I know she's a teenager. That's something they do often. But I would love to know, how long was she her aide? Anyways, I've got more questions coming out of that story. And then, of course, like I said, John Myrick did join us around 10 o'clock, which was great. Before the break, we were talking about Marjorie Taylor Greene and President Trump. They are at odds, in case you missed it. And we were going over a post from True Social that President Trump made about retracting his endorsement of Marjorie Taylor Greene. We were just halfway through it. We were talking about the fact that Trump, he said, look, I showed her that she could not be the senator or governor in Georgia because she was polling at 12% and she didn't have a chance. So, you know, Scott Jennings said that he heard from good sources that Trump did privately talk to her about this poll. And I guess she didn't like what she heard. I don't know. But anybody that's in office, especially someone like, you know, MTG, that has won with, you know, resounding numbers, I would think if you're polling at 12%, you wouldn't pull that trigger. You would continue to sit in your seat in which you currently sit in. And then you would continue to work statewide and see if maybe a Senate run was possible in the future. If not 2026, you know, maybe, I don't know when the next Senate seat is up. I'm trying to think of when Warnock got his seat. I mean, we're talking about her between John Ossoff right now. But, you know, and then the governor's race, not too far along. Maybe then you think about it. But right now, I mean, let's be honest. When it comes to Marjorie Taylor Greene, a lot of people know her for what? For fighting, you know, or I guess arguing with Jasmine Crockett. Usually she's very outspoken, which I appreciate because she doesn't stay quiet in certain matters where, you know, you have a lot of people playing politics and they won't speak up. I think it was very brave of her to stand on the side of Epstein victims. You don't see that. You see Representative Thomas Massie and a few others, but I was happy to hear that over 100 Republicans on the Hill are planning to vote in favor of releasing the Epstein files tomorrow when Speaker Johnson takes it to the floor. That's great news. So she's not alone in that, and neither is Thomas Massie. If they've got the votes, sounds like they've got the votes. So I guess I'm wondering why she has such an issue with everything. Illegal immigration was a big deal. She was there at the rally in Rome, Georgia, when I was down there, and everybody was talking about Lake and Riley and how she was murdered by an illegal immigrant. And Marjorie Taylor Greene was right there on stage saying that that was going to be her priority. Well, guess what? Illegal immigration is also Trump's priority. He's been tackling it the best he can. She recently said in a podcast that she doesn't like that ICE wears masks. And she doesn't like, you know, the visuals of it. And there, look, you could say that there's a lot of people across the country, because they've been doing polling on it, they don't like the you know, I guess the way that ICE has been going around and rounding people up. But they're not American citizens, like some people are suggesting or implying. And in my view, you know how I feel about illegal immigration. I've got zero tolerance. If you're here illegally, goodbye. I don't care about your story. I don't care about your abuela. I don't, you know what I mean? It's like, I don't really care. If you're here illegally, goodbye. I'm over that whole trade. I really am. Well, anyways, further on Trump's Truth Social post, he says, she has told many people that she is upset that I don't return her phone calls anymore. With 219 congressmen and women, 53 U.S. senators, and 24 cabinet members, almost 200 countries, and an otherwise normal life to lead, I can't take a ranting lunatic's call every day. Oh, man. He says, I understand that wonderful conservative people are thinking about primarying Marjorie in her district of Georgia, that they, too, are fed up with her and her antics, and if the right person runs, they will have my complete and unyielding support. She has gone far left, even doing The View and their low-IQ Republican-hating anchors. Thank you for your attention to this matter. Make America great again. Again, that was Trump on Marjorie Taylor Greene. Now, we were looking to see where he said that she was working for a foreign leader, but I don't see it. But that was one Truth Social post. Here's another Truth Social post from President Trump. Marjorie Taylor Greene is a disgrace to our great Republican Party. That was the entire post. I will continue to look, but I don't see where it says that she's working for another country. I don't see it yet, but that doesn't mean it doesn't exist. I will continue to look. I will continue to look. All right, I did want to go back to, before I get to phone calls here. I wanted to go back to the question of the day. Don't forget to take our poll question. It is the hot topic of the day. Do you care about the release of the Epstein files? You know what? It kind of goes with the whole Marjorie Taylor Greene situation as well, because she's been pushing for the release. This poll question is brought to you by Renovation Real Estate. So far, 71% of you say no, you don't care. 29% of you say yes, you do care. I figured as much. You know what? The don't care is actually a little more surprising. I thought it would be less people saying that they don't care. But 71% of you so far say no, you don't really care about it. I look at it as, look, if we get them, we get them. Here's my thing. Brian, the producer, you might feel the same way. I feel like as soon as they're released, there's still going to be people complaining about it. And then, of course, there's going to be people saying, well, now what are you going to do about it? We know how government goes around, you know, making arrests and holding people accountable. That's sarcasm, of course. And then there's going to be people coming up with conspiracy theories saying that they're not true, that they've been doctored in some way. Like, you already know what's coming down. I mean, you know what's happening. And, of course, those that like to monetize conspiracy theories, you're going to get a ton of those videos out there. Should they be released? Yeah. Is this going to be the end of this conversation? Heck no. I've got Terrell in Owings Mills. Hey, Terrell.
How you doing?
Good. Did you want to weigh in on Marjorie Taylor Greene versus Trump?
Well, first, Kim, let me...
Well, I don't have a ton of time, but so if you want to weigh in on that.
Kim, look. Every time Donald Trump is in a bind, okay, I'll take the tariffs. He done lowered the tariffs.
Terrell. This is Marjorie Taylor Greene versus Trump.
Okay.
This is actually an easy one for you.
Okay, here's Jeffrey Epstein. You know, that's what it's all about with Marjorie Taylor. He called Marjorie Taylor Greene, he called her Marjorie Taylor Brown, which means that when grass turns brown, that it's dead. That's what that means. Do you understand that?
I never saw that. He said, okay, where did you say that?
He called her Marjorie Taylor Brown.
Was it on Truth Social or was that an interview?
No, he said that on TV all weekend, Kim. He called her a Marjorie Taylor Brown.
Okay, I will look it up. I've been logging off on the weekends, just so you know, because it's just so much drama. Go ahead.
Kim, and also, you got Howard Lutnick. Have you ever heard of him?
Of course, yes.
Okay, Howard Lutnick. Do you know what he said and know what he did?
Is this about Marjorie Taylor Greene and Trump?
No. Yeah, it has to do something with Jeffrey Epstein, okay? He was at Jeffrey Epstein's house. Okay, Jeffrey Epstein, he lived next door to Jeffrey Epstein, our Chamber of Commerce secretary.
Okay.
And Epstein invited Howard Lutnick over to his house.
Okay.
Okay. And he was showing, Jeffrey was showing Lutnick his house, and he come to find out Jeffrey had a massage table in the middle of his living room. And Howard was with his wife.
Well, I will say, Terrell, there are rich people with massage tables. Because they have the masseuse come to their house. I'm not on that level.
Oh my God!
But I'm not saying that Epstein is not a nasty guy. Obviously, he is.
Kim,
but
I would love
if
to-
you if he's your neighbor and you go over his house for dinner or what have you, I mean, I can see that happening. I mean, Bill Clinton's been to his house how many times? Are we going to assume that every time that Bill Clinton went to Epstein's house, he was hooking up with little girls? I'm not going to say that.
Well, Kim, Howard Lutnick was saying that he thinks that Jeffrey had cameras set up in his home and that he was taping them. This is what your
All
camera
right, Terrell.
Covered, and that he was bribing. That he was bribing people, you know, to make money.
All right,
so
Terrell.
This is how he made his money, Kim.
Terrell, there are lots of people with cameras in their homes.
Oh, okay.
The outrage that you have right now is unfounded. I will let you go. There's many people with cameras in their phone, in their houses. There are many people that have, whether it's nannies or maids or what have you, they've got cameras in the home. I mean, it's actually very, very common. Now, I will say when it comes to Epstein, obviously not a good guy. Should they release the files? Absolutely. Is it at the top of my list? No. No. And this is what I'm talking about. You know, all this little nitpicking. It's like there were Democrats hanging out with Epstein, too. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I think every Democrat that knew Epstein was into, you know, pedophilia. That's crazy. I would never allege such nonsense. But this is, you know, again, Orange Man Bad. Orange Man Bad. All right, coming up next, if you want to weigh in, else you can. We'll wrap it up. Also, I want to tell you a little bit about John Fetterman, the senator of Pennsylvania, and his fall. We did mention his fall last week, but it was actually worse than I thought. You guys might have saw the pictures. We'll talk about that. And then, of course, SNAP benefits and Mamdani. Mamdani made a phone call to Governor Wes Moore. We'll probably talk about that first. Stay right there.
Are you making these two deadly mistakes with your emergency food supply? The first mistake is not having an emergency food supply to begin with. The second mistake is buying an emergency food supply, but not having a way to cook the meals in an emergency. That's why My Patriot Supply created the Black Friday Survival Special. It comes with a 4-week food supply, plus $150 worth of free gifts, including everything you need to prepare your emergency meals, like a cook stove, fuel, fire starters, plus a water purifier, bug out bag, and more. It's the complete survival kit your family needs to ride out natural disasters, civil unrest, or worse. Plus, it makes a great Christmas gift, but it's only available through Black Friday. So head over to MyPatriotSupply.com to check out everything that's included. With all the uncertainty in the world, disaster preparedness is more important than ever. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and get prepared today. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Did you know Farnan and Dermer are HVAC pros? Being Maryland's oldest and best, they're family-owned and operated since 1902. Winter cold doesn't stand a chance. So if it's time for a new heating system, they make it easy. 0% financing up to 60 months, plus rebates up to $7,000. And don't forget that tax credit, $2,000 you get. But it goes away at the end of this year. Call 410-367-7777. That's Farnan and Dermer, the comfort guys that you can trust.
Hey, it's Kim Klasick. When it comes to something as important as your roof, you want a company that's been there and done that. That's Wallace Roofing and Construction. They've been in business for over 90 years and are family-owned. No subcontractors, just quality, trusted workmanship on every job, residential or commercial. Call Wallace Roofing today at 410-655-3700. That's 410-655-3700. And tell them Kim Klasick sent you. Wallace Roofing, above all, a good roof. MHIC number 1566.
Hi, this is Scott Jennings. You've seen me battle the left on CNN for years, and now you can hear me every weeknight at 9 as I continue to slay the liberal narratives. Join me for unmatched political insight, high-impact interviews, and sharp-witted commentary that cuts through the noise. It's my job to arm you with common sense and shape the national conversation. Don't miss the Scott Jennings Show weeknights at 9, Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right. You heard Terrell. If you have a massage table, you are possibly a pedophile. Oh, Lordy. I will look for the Marjorie Taylor Brown comments. Like I told Terrell, you know what? I've been enjoying just kind of logging off. Because it's a lot of back and forth and a lot of petty arguments. And it feels like high school. And I feel like I'm lowering my standards and lowering myself to just engage in these low IQ conversations online. I mean, the back and forth, the infighting with the Republican Party is just astonishing. I've got Donna at Sabrina Park. Donna, did you want to weigh in?
Hi, Kim. Thanks for taking my call. I'm concerned that this is a red herring that Trump is actually talking about, and it's not the most important thing. What's most important is actually the Obamacare catastrophe that needs to be fixed. And I don't want this to distract from what is on most Americans' minds. Now, of course, if there was something in the Epstein files that was detrimental to President Trump, they would have released it years ago.
Yeah.
They had 4 years to release it. So, fine, release it. I'm sorry for the victims. It's awful. I understand that. But what's on the midterms' minds is health care. It needs to be fixed. And that's what people need to be concentrating on, not this garbage from back and forth with MTG.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%, Donna. Thank you so much for calling in. I hope you have a great week. Thank you. And look, to Donna's point, and we talked about this last week, as soon as the government shutdown ended, it was Epstein files immediately. Immediately. And it's like, you see it happening. Like, you know, finally they get an end to the government shutdown. Everybody's complaining and whining about the SNAP benefits. They finally get it to an end. And then it's like, oh, where's the Epstein files? And then I've got fellow Republicans eating it up. Yeah, where's the Epstein files? What? So you're now parenting exactly what the Democrats are saying because MTG and Tucker Carlson are saying it? Do you not see the shenanigans here? They don't want people to believe that the shutdown was because the Democrats were filibustering. So even though that's all being known now, that's coming to light, that's exposed now. It clearly were the Democrats. They're the ones. And now, instead of shining the light in that direction, now they're saying the Epstein files need to be released. And now you've got Republicans that are on the inside that want to be against President Trump right now that are saying, yes, we must have those Epstein files. Well, congratulations. If you could, please go down to the DMV and change your party registration to Democrat. Because you're one of the same. Congratulations. We quite literally ended the war in Israel. And instead of rejoicing over that and talking about how great that is, I think we talked for, what, maybe a couple days about President Trump getting the Nobel Peace Prize. And then it was back to the same old crap. And then Democrats saw an opening. They're like, oh, yes, Chuck Schumer, get in there. Shut down the government. We can't have him taking a victory lap for ending the war in Israel because President Joe Biden and Kamala Harris couldn't get it done. We can't have that. Get out there and shut the government down, Chuck. You want to save your seat? You better do it. And then we got Republicans saying, oh my goodness. Dude, switch your party. What are you doing over here? Go over there. We don't need this over here. Okay, again, John Fetterman, a senator from Pennsylvania. He had a nasty fall, okay? He was out walking, apparently, was unconscious. Somebody actually found him, the whole thing. Well, he posted a picture over the weekend. Apparently, he received 20 stitches. And he says he remembers nothing. Now, John Fetterman, obviously against the shutdown, and was very vocal about it. So, of course, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking of what could be the next conspiracy here. John Fetterman was pushed, right? He was on the side of the Republicans. He was pushed down. He remembers nothing. What do you mean he remembers nothing? Well, anyways, I'm glad that he's recovering, all jokes aside. Very nasty fall. Be careful out there. Kathy, what doesn't want to work, Klausmeyer? I know you take walks, too. Be careful. Coming up next, SNAP benefits.
With SRN News, I'm Greg Cluxton in Washington. Airlines are resuming their normal schedules now that the commercial flight restrictions imposed during the government shutdown have been lifted. President Trump has backtracked in his fight with Republicans over the Jeffrey Epstein files. He now says there's nothing to hide and that House GOP lawmakers should vote to release the information. The president's reversal comes as 100 Republicans or more are set to back the Epstein bill in the House. Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu says it's time to formally investigate the October 7 Hamas attack in 2023, but he has angered many in Israel by appointing a government committee that he will oversee instead of an independent state commission. There were protests and demonstrations in Israel over the weekend. Major stock indexes down about 0.5% on Wall Street right now. This is SRN News.
Glen Burnie Transmissions and Jim Jennings Transmissions have joined together. to make sure no matter where you are in Baltimore, you can choose the best when it comes to your transmission. Both companies have been in business for over a half a century, and it's about time the two premier transmission service companies have teamed up. Whether it's a new, used, rebuilt, or remanufactured transmission for hundreds less than the dealers, look no further than either Glen Burnie Transmissions or Jim Jennings Transmissions. You'll get the same courteous, professional, and expert service from both companies. Free area towing and financing is available. Call Glen Burnie Transmissions at 410-766-8500 or gbt-online.com. Or call Jim Jennings Transmissions at 410-686-6700 or jjt-online.com. Glen Burnie Transmissions and Jim Jennings Transmissions, the best team in Baltimore. Now, Gary Stein on sports.
So what was Lamar's reaction when Mark Andrews turned the corner?
Go. That's all I'm saying. My mom, go. Like, he turned on the Jets, too. I guess he looked at that 49, like, no way. Shout out Lamar, man.
The 49 Lamar was referring to was Carson Schwesinger of the Browns, who was in fruitless pursuit of Andrews as the tight end scored the winning touchdown in Baltimore's 23-16 win. And sweet redemption for Andrews, who fans deem persona non grata in Baltimore after the Buffalo drop a year ago, an irony that was not lost on head coach John Harbaugh.
That's what life is, you know, in football. And maybe it's one of the reasons why people are so attracted to the sport, because you see that adversity play out in front of everybody's eyes. You get the criticism or the outside noise or whatever that people have to deal with, which is the same thing that people go through in their everyday life.
The win allows the Ravens to keep pace with the Steelers, 32-14 winners over the Bengals yesterday. Pittsburgh still leads Baltimore by one game in the division. Champaign, Illinois was not kind to Mike Locksley and the Terps on Saturday. 24-6 losers to the Fighting Illini. Maryland's sixth consecutive loss, the hot seat in College Park getting hotter for the head coach. But the man is undeterred.
They know I'm going to coach them up until the day I'm not allowed to, and they're going to play hard for me until the day they are done playing for me. Those are the type of bonds I make in this business.
Locksley has never had a winning record in the Big Ten in 7 years, but apparently he does have the support of the administration. Maryland Athletic Director Jim Smith announcing yesterday that Locksley will be back in 2026 and will get more money to spend on the program. Coming up in 30 minutes, the fake tush push play dubbed the Hurricane. And that is Stein on Sports.
I'm Kim Klasick. I want to introduce you to my friend and a great patriot, Rod Wittstadt. Rod is a United States Naval officer and has been practicing law in Maryland for 33 years.
Hi, this is attorney Rod Wittstadt. I charge a flat fee of $525 for a simple will, legal power of attorney, and advanced medical directive. That's $525. When you call me, you get me, not some junior attorney or paralegal.
Call 410-525-WILL. That's 410-525-WILL today to schedule a free consultation.
Your Fox 45 forecast, mostly sunny but windy with temperatures close to 50 today, but feel like temperatures stuck in the very brisk low 40s as winds gust up to 30 miles an hour. Mostly clear and colder tonight as lows fall back into the low 30s. Tuesday starts off dry too, but chilly with highs only in the mid 40s and then rain moving in by the evening. From the Fox 45 Weather Authority, I'm meteorologist Amy Aronson for Talk Radio 680 WCBN.
Today, we're speaking with Gil Kuda of Aegis Capital. According to Retirement Paycheck Survey conducted online by RBC Wealth Management, published February 1st, 2024, only 53% of Americans approaching retirement understand how their assets will provide a paycheck in retirement. How may an annuity be part of a plan to generate retirement income?
An annuity may be part of a combination of investments to pay income for someone's retirement.
And how should an investor consider an annuity?
There are many options to choose from. Be aware annuities have early surrender charges and are long-term investments. Investors should take a long-term focus.
And how is the income paid?
Each annuity has certain income provisions as to when you may begin to take income. Most plans allow monthly distributions. Some contracts offer lifetime income benefits. It's important to remember that guarantees are subject to the insurer's claims paying ability.
And how may our listeners receive more information?
Simply dial 410-230-1820 to request a free information kit.
Simply dial 410-230-1820.
Securities offered through Aegis Capital Corp. Member FINRA SIPC. Guarantees are subject to the insurer's claims paying ability. Bonus credits may be offset by higher fees and reduced benefits. Past performance is not indicative of future results. Investment products are not FDIC insured. They lose value and are not bank guaranteed.
Eggland's Best. The only eggs with more fresh and delicious taste, plus superior nutrition. Eggland's Best. Better taste, better nutrition, better eggs.
From Milford Mill to Owings Mills, Memorial Park to Brooklyn Park, this is the right choice for Maryland.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
right. Again, happy Monday to all of you. When you're thinking of a friend ringing your phone for advice, you probably think it's going to be what? Your best friend, you know, possibly your brother or your sister or someone in your family, somebody very close to you, right? It's like you're seeking advice. Maybe somebody that could be like a mentee of yours, right? If you're a mentor. If they're seeking your advice, that means they really do respect you and what it is that you do. And so I was a little taken back when I saw that Mamdani, yes, the New York City mayor-elect, decided to make a phone call to our very own Governor Wes Moore. Take a listen.
Minutes after he was elected in New York, Mayor-elect Sohan Mamdani was on the phone with Maryland Governor Wes Moore. Published reports say New York's new Democratic Socialist mayor was seeking advice on how to deal with President Trump. The governor has become one of the president's most vocal critics.
There is a chaos, and it is an intentional chaos, that we are seeing from this administration.
I think when you're known for being a premier enemy of a major political figure, you can find alliance with others who have that same reputation. And very often when you find those others, they're willing to forget all of their differences. And I think that's what's going on here.
Lately, the governor has solidified his position by the words he uses and the company he keeps.
So I'm here with Governor Wes Moore in the governor's suite. Hey.
At the Commanders game in Landover on Sunday, the governor taped a message to the president.
Well, I just wanted to remind people that, you know, because I know the president's coming on board today, but I just want to remind him, say, first of all, Mr. President, welcome back to Maryland. And second of all, in the state of Maryland, I am proud to be the commander-in-chief of the Maryland National Guard. So welcome, Mr. President.
Joining the governor was Russell Ellis, better known as Jolly Good Ginger, who's an outspoken critic of the president.
Well, I'm Antifa.
Ellis declared himself an Antifa at an anti-Trump rally in Washington 2 months ago.
I'm not sure how in any reality that is a good thing for the governor of our state to be wrapping arm in arm with individuals from a known terrorist organization.
The governor and his people need to do a little better job of screening some of the people out who are a little bit more radical on the right or the left, because you don't want to be seen in a bad light.
But as the anti-Trump rhetoric grows louder, some analysts fear the impact on Maryland could grow greater.
I don't think he's going to make any extra effort for somebody who iterates and reiterates his detestation for Donald Trump. I think on a national scale, this will not help him, and it's foolish.
All right, and that's what they were talking about. Governor Wes Moore, and yes, Mamdani made a phone call to Governor Moore asking for advice, allegedly, right? I don't have the phone records. And, of course, they were pointing out the fact that he was just at the Commanders game with Antifa, or an Antifa representative. I did hear John Deedy there, the analyst that you see often on Fox 45, who I do respect. I don't agree with a lot of his opinions, but I do respect his opinions, and I respect the fact that he has a lot of knowledge when it comes to many of the things that he talks about. And I thought it was interesting because he said the Moore administration needs to do a better job at vetting who Governor Moore is around. But I will push back and say, clearly they're not even vetting who the people are in the head departments of these agencies. What am I trying to say, Brian, the producer? They're not even vetting those that are in the director's chair in these agencies such as Department of Human Services, Department of Juvenile Services, and so many others. And we even seen some resignations here not too long ago, whether it was Department of Transportation, the Maryland State Police. And so I just don't believe that they would vet anyone that they hang out with. I mean, they're not even vetting those people. And they're, you know, on taxpayer salaries. I think that some of the people that Governor Moore surrounds himself with are part of the Open Society Foundation. And of course, keep in mind that Governor Wes Moore is one of the Open Society Foundation candidates. So Carter Elliott and friends, which he hangs out with, also his spokesperson for his campaign, I think they're just fine with Governor Moore's hanging out with a self-proclaimed leader in Antifa. I think they're fine with it. I think they're fine with Mamdani calling him. I was actually surprised that he didn't endorse Mamdani during the race. The only reason why I think he did not do it is because he wants to be just like Obama. And Obama refused to endorse Mamdani. Apparently, that question went out to Barack Obama, and Barry said no. I don't know what to make of it. Of course, he was asking for advice on how to handle Trump. I don't think that Governor Wes Moore has done a great job at handling anything with Trump. I think, you know, the fact that he calls on Trump so much, he looks like a fool. I think I said before, you know, just last week, he looks like one of those clout chasing girls at like a rock concert. That's like, pick me, right? It's like, oh, you know, President Trump, you can't do this. Or I'm calling on President Trump and I'm not going to bend the knee to President Trump. He sounds like a jilted lover or something. It's very odd. I don't know how this is the game plan. He invokes President Trump's name almost every day, every interview that he does. He's talking about President Trump. And as I mentioned before, President Trump, whether or not Governor Wes Moore wants to be the president in 2028, President Trump's not going to be on the ballot. There's no reason for you to continue to swipe at President Trump. He's not there. The people you have to worry about are, you know, J.D. Vance, Governor Ron DeSantis. I mean, honestly, who knows what even Congressman Byron Donalds is going to decide to do? Sure, he's running for governor in Florida right now, but I don't know what he's going to try to do 2 years, you know, after that. I don't know. But there are a lot of candidates. Secretary of State Marco Rubio, there's a lot of people that Governor Moore couldn't hold a feather to. And you're still going after Trump? Dude, that's not your competition. You are not in the same lane. Got some people that want to weigh in, obviously, on this conversation. I got Kurt Edgewater. Hey, Kurt.
Good morning, Kim. I just wanted to say that Mamdani is an obvious communist. Antifa or Antifa, whatever you want to call them, they're communists. They're the old East Germans that got ran out of Germany. They call them anti-fascists because they were against Hitler, but they were fascists themselves. They're communists. And George Soros is an anarchist. These are the kind of people that Wes Moore is hanging around. Wes Moore is bad news. He has no business in politics whatsoever, and he has to be defeated.
Yeah, no, Kurt, I'm with you 100%. Thank you so much. Hope you have a great day.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you. And he's right. I mean, if you're palling around with these type of people, I mean, is that really anybody that you want to see in the Oval Office? I mean, you got people complaining now who's going into the Oval Office. Could you imagine George Soros sitting there for meetings? Ay, ay, ay. Ay, ay, ay. This, you know, and that's another piece of this is that, you know, Governor Moore, even though I think he's a terrible candidate, he's probably still going to raise a ton of money just because of the people that he has behind him. And we were asking before, you know, when did Governor Moore make this turn? When did he get so quote unquote progressive? And I know in the text line, a texter pointed out, it's like, well, don't forget, you know, Don Moore worked for Attorney General Anthony Brown. That's why Wes and A.G. Brown work so well together. But not only that, I was reminded, Marty reminded me in the text line last week that she was there with the Obamacare failed rollout. I forgot she was there during that time. So that just tells you what you got there. That's what you got there, your power couple. Terrible. Oh, man, oh, man. All right, I also wanted to bring forward to you what they're talking about right now in regards to SNAP benefits. I'm not going to spend too much time on this, but I was shocked to learn that 3 out of 10 Baltimore residents receive SNAP benefits. That's a lot. That's a lot. So I had to go and look up the number of people disabled in Baltimore City. But before I get into that, take a listen to Channel 11.
Spoke to several people who say they are seeing money on their EBT account. Several of you also commented on our social media posts, letting us know you received some of your SNAP benefits. But many people tell me it's only a fraction of what they normally get. Now, keep in mind, when Governor Wes Moore first signed the executive order to release $62 million last week, it was going to supplement the partial SNAP benefits that the Trump administration was going to fund. And this was to make sure SNAP recipients wound up receiving full benefits. But since then, the Trump administration appealed all the way up to the Supreme Court to avoid paying for full SNAP benefits, which the Supreme Court is allowing through a short-term order. Over the weekend, the USDA told states not to issue full SNAP payments and undo any full payments already issued. Governor Wes Moore's office says the USDA's directive and the Supreme Court's ruling are not impacting their decision to make sure Marylanders get at least some of their SNAP benefits. I spoke to Chanel Chapman, who says she usually receives $128 a month in SNAP benefits, but this month she received $23.
I'm trying to figure out how is we going to eat all month off of the $23. I'm grateful that they did step in and was able to help us somewhat, but I need the federal government, the president, the Senate, and all of them, I need them to come to some type of conclusion, because us as Americans who's depending on this SNAP can't keep being in limbo like this.
And again, the $23 Chanel received in SNAP benefits came from the state. Meanwhile, new data from Johns Hopkins University shows 3 in 10 Baltimore City residents receive SNAP, and about 2/3 of SNAP recipients in the Baltimore area are food insecure. We know around 680,000 people across Maryland rely on SNAP monthly, so this impacts a lot of people. I did speak to some folks who say they have not received any of their SNAP benefits yet, but the governor's office says those payments will continue to be released in the coming days. I'm Brianna Ross, TV 11 News.
All right. First and foremost, and I don't have to tell you this, but food is not a God-given right, okay? So it's... I mean, this is wild. I was listening to that woman and I was like, wait a minute, what? She said, I need the federal government to get it together because I need my... This is how I see this, okay? Now, if you have a disability, that's one thing, right? If you are not able to work, that's one thing. If you absolutely need food, SNAP benefits, that's one thing. But for many people, and I don't know about this young lady because Channel 11, they didn't ask if she was disabled or not. They just weren't talking. They talked to her about, you know, SNAP in general. But it's just, it's so bothersome because if you can hear, it's like an entitlement in their voice. Like, it's like, oh, well, what do you mean? Look, you can take any sheet of blank paper, hold that sheet of paper up, right? Just blank, nothing on it. And that is an entire list of things that the government owes you, okay? The government doesn't owe you anything. And I sure damn don't owe you anything, okay? So when I'm in the grocery store and I'm trying to figure out what to take and what to put back, because I myself am on a budget, I don't expect you to come up behind me with your cart filled with soda and everything else that has corn syrup on it or in it. I don't need you to come behind me looking at me like, oh, can she move out of the way, right? Right? It's just, it's so wild. And you see it all the time. Don't act like you don't see it. And it just does not discriminate. It doesn't matter what color the individual is. There are many people that are capable of working that just choose not to. And I can say that we have this issue here. And look, this is just the census numbers from 2023. Okay. But I went to go look it up. Because when I heard that there was 3 out of 10 Baltimore residents received SNAP benefits, I thought, well, that's a mighty high number. So then I looked it up. 16% of Baltimoreans are considered disabled, according to the 2023 census. Well, that math isn't mathing, is it? It doesn't add up. So I'm looking at this situation, and I'm like, all right, well, you know what? This is crazy. So when I saw this morning, and there was a post online, I saw this morning that apparently there are some SNAP beneficiaries that are going to have to reapply to the program. And I think that's a great first step. I do. I think we have lots of illegal immigrants on this program. I think they got it as soon as they came over the border and had nothing but the shirts on their backs. I think we have a lot of people that can go to work on this program. And I think they've been sitting on this program for generations. It's one thing falling on hard times, ladies and gentlemen. It happens to all of us. You could be in between jobs. Something could have happened. Perhaps you got hurt. And, it, you know, maybe you didn't qualify for disability. There's things that happen all the time. Perhaps a member of your family died. You're dealing with that grief the best way you can. Perhaps you're still, you know, trying to put things back together since COVID. I don't know. It happens all of the time. And for you, yes, SNAP benefits. Absolutely. We're going to help you get through this. But we are looking at four or five generations of families on SNAP benefits, and they're fully capable of going to work. No, I don't support that. I don't support any illegal immigrant on SNAP, by the way. Not one. But we've unfortunately put ourselves in a situation where we've allowed people to take advantage of SNAP for decades. And now, just a little SNAP inconvenience, and you've got total meltdowns. Here is your sign to start looking for a job. Here's your sign right here. You heard now. The government's temporarily funded. You've got until February 1st. Get up, get a job. You have time. We'll go to the phone lines, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit about Michelle Obama. Hey, John and Glen Arm. Hey, John.
Hey, Kim. Hey, I was just thinking about people and their habits, right? So we're all habit-driven. You have a work habit, right? But a lot of people don't have a work habit. They have a dependency habit. So I'm hoping that they look at HUD, they look at all of these ag programs, school lunches in Maryland, everybody gets them. Like, there's a summer program where everybody can, it doesn't matter if you're making $1 million, your kid can get a school lunch.
Yeah, that's a problem. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's all of these are what I call perverse incentives, right? We need to flip the perverse incentives by eliminating these things as much as possible. And I think annual reapplying is also perfect. But how about an accounting by Social Security number of all benefits?
Yeah, that would be nice too, John.
Yeah, and you put your Social Security number in and you look at how much the government has given you.
Yeah, great idea.
Year after year after year. And, you can do a family tree on that and also see how much that family has been extracting from the taxpayers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a great idea. John, thank you so much. I hope you have a great week. When we get back, we'll discuss more.
Hi, this is Sean Casey. Tim Kyle Electric is now Tim Kyle Electric Heating and Cooling. For years, they've been a trusted name in the electrical industry, serving residential and commercial clients with excellence and dedication. Now they're proud to bring their wealth of experience and exceptional service to homes that are looking for HVAC services. During fall weather, it's important to ensure your home is equipped with reliable heating, ventilation, and air conditioning systems. Tim Kyle Electric Heating and Cooling, here to cater to your needs, ensuring comfort and peace of mind for you and your family. The weather is changing, and now's the time to call Tim Kyle Electric Heating and Cooling today, 410-876-9404. Remember, they also do outdoor lighting, plus service and sell all generators. For all your electrical and HVAC solutions, call 410-876-9404, 410-876-9404, or timkylecompany.com. Tim Kyle Electric Heating and Cooling, winner of Carol's Best Electrician and HVAC Repair Company.
This holiday season, step back in time at G. Krug & Son Iron Works and Museum, America's oldest continuously operating blacksmith shop right here in Baltimore since 1810. Stop by Saturday, December 6th from 11 to 2 as they celebrate 215 years of craftsmanship, history, and holiday spirit. Watch live blacksmith demonstrations, explore a walking catalog of iron artistry, and experience Christmas the old-fashioned way. Christmas at Krug, where Baltimore's history still glows warm by the forge. Learn more at jkrugandson.com.
Have you been in an accident? The most important call you're going to make after the cops is to 877-OUCH-911. Why? Because I'm the only attorney who gives a shit. 877-OUCH-911 or OUCHGuy.com. Ouch, guys, Yoshua Beer.
The Rob Carson Show.
She says that by capitulating on the shutdown, the Democrats have lost their base. And here's your base.
I am your base. I have voted for Democrats for 40 years. I am a lesbian with a black, disabled, non-binary child. And I worked in an abortion clinic. I am your base. And I'm
oh, my God.
The Rob Carson Show. Weekdays, noon to 3 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right. David from Hellthorpe texted in and said, Kim, no welfare program was supposed to be a way of life. There are supposed to be a temporary helping hand. Personally, end all welfare now. Wow, David. Look, I understand what you're saying. I know there's some people that need it, obviously, right? Whether they're struggling with disabilities or those. And look, I would say PTSD is also high on the list of disabilities because I know some people that have it. And I could tell you that I don't think they'll ever work. I don't think they'll ever work with what they endured in Afghanistan. What I also say is people do fall on hard times. And that does happen. And sometimes, you know, there are people out there that do not have that family support and that family dynamic. And I get it. And I, for that, I'm understanding. You guys know I used to run a nonprofit for a while. I'm understanding. But, you know, even when I'm helping you, you got to help yourself. You know, just kind of sitting around with your hand out, it's not going to work for me. Speaking of which, I want to turn gears over to Michelle Obama. I've got Michelle Obama fatigue for real. Okay. For real. She is driving me insane. She's now blaming white people for the lack of black people being able to swim, or I guess for some black people not being able to swim, and then also for some black people, I guess because the white beauty standard in her mind is to have straight hair. Now, she says all this on stage talking about her new book, and yes, her hair is straightened. Take a listen.
Let me explain something to white people. Our hair comes out of our head naturally in a curly pattern. So when we're straightening it to follow your beauty standards, we are trapped by the straightness. That's why so many of us can't swim and we run away from the water. People won't go to the gym because we're trying to keep our hair straight for y'all. It is exhausting and it's so expensive and it takes up so much time. Braids are for y'all so we can work harder and focus on the work. So why do we need an act of law to tell white folks to get out of our hair? Don't tell me how to wear my hair. Don't wonder about it. Don't touch it. Just don't.
Now, Brian, the producer, I feel left out. You've never once told me how to wear my hair. You've never tried to touch it. I don't even think you've been that close to me to even touch my hair. Here's what's so crazy. According to Michelle Obama, everything's the fault of somebody white. Then she goes, let me tell you, white folk. Look, I'm sending out a new mission. We're going to rescue Barack Obama, okay? We're going to rescue him. We can't leave no man behind, all right? We cannot leave him behind. Something is wrong with this woman. And mind you, I saw these comments. I was watching this video while I was at the gym. I was on the elliptical machine as I was watching her say that black people don't go to the gym and sweat because we want to keep our hair straightened for white people. I said, oh, the irony. All right, lots to talk about tomorrow, of course. Even another special guest. Brian, as always, thank you for a great show. I'll talk to all of you tomorrow at 9 a.m.
Stay and relax with Hilton Garden Inn in Owings Mills with easy check-in using their digital key. Just download their Hilton Honors app. Whether it's a